We'll be joined by Stephen Caldwell in just a couple of moments out in Qatar, Canada. A 4-1 loss to Croatia the other day. Effectively, their tournament's over. They have one more game. They got Morocco coming up in a couple of days. But essentially, that's it for Team Canada.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like they left something on the table, man. I don't know. I know there's a lot of people that are excited and happy, and I understand it. Like, it's a huge moment. You can only have one first World Cup goal. But I guess you got to get one World Cup point against Morocco to maybe feel a little better.
You know what I find funny? I feel like this was, like, the narrative, 2 months ago maybe was, as long as they score a goal, Canada should be happy. And now that we're here and there, it doesn't seem like that was the goal anymore. Now the goal was to get a result and a draw or a win, and because they scored the goal, now it's like, okay, now we're not
crazy
satisfied
to even
anymore.
Hear that? It's crazy to hear that.
Well, like, it was
our goal was to score a goal, and I know it's not a funny thing, but it just seems even crazy to have that as your kind of goal to go over there and score a goal.
Right.
But if you're talking about results. I mean, we talked about Davies getting his first goal, but after that, they got dummied by Croatia.
Absolutely.
It wasn't even a contest. The result they could have got was in the first game.
Yeah. And that's the thing. When you look at how you had the number two team in the world on the ropes for a lot of that game, and you had the penalty early, and Davies missed it, and you had plenty of other chances, and you feel like, and then you see that Morocco beats Belgium 2-0 in their game. They were there for the taking, and you missed that opportunity to be, you know, the underdog statement of the moment.
Let's head out to Qatar. Stephen Caldwell, our TSN soccer analyst, standing by. Stephen, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
We're doing pretty good. Doing pretty well. I mean, Canada didn't get the result that they hoped for against Croatia. 4-1 loss yesterday, but did find the score sheet for the first time in World Cup history. I mean, how big of a moment was that for Canada? Finally get that goal on the world stage. Did it make it all worth it?
Yeah, it really did. It was an amazing moment to come so early in the game that everyone was so pumped up for and excited for was really special. And Canada got off to a flying start, obviously, with that Alphonso Davies header, but it was a performance in the first 20, 25 minutes that was so impressive. And then, unfortunately, the Croatians showed their class and started to sort of dominate the game. Canada were struggling to keep up with the pace that the Croatian midfield were playing with, and ultimately, it was too tall a task to actually come away with a result, but that first goal was really special to be a part of that and to enjoy that moment with the rest of the country.
Stevie, you must be happy that you don't have to talk about Herdman's comments anymore, although Duthie will sure find a way to get it into some kind of conversation in the next couple of days. I'm kind of torn with the comments. I kind of like a guy to have some fire and some jam to have the comments, but man, you kind of look silly after that game was over. And then the opposition, the Croatian coach, said he didn't shake his hand. Just what did you make in summary of all that, the comments and how it all played out?
Yeah, it was a big mistake to make the comments. It was something that should have stayed internal between the players. And I'm okay with a coach trying to rile up players and have them motivated and ready, but you don't tell the opposition that. You certainly don't tell a country as proud as Croatia, you know. And I think that it really gave them a cause and someone to rally around. The pressure was on Croatia after that first game against Morocco, and the pressure was on Slatko Dalic, and it just spun in its head the minute John Herdman said what he did, and then obviously doubled down on it and repeated it again in the press conference. So it was a huge mistake from John Herdman, and ultimately it put too much pressure on his players, and it just snowballed on and on and on throughout the world media, and that was a big issue. So a mistake. You know, everyone makes mistakes, and if John Herdman learns from that mistake and he improves, then obviously that's what you hope, that's what you expect from this whole World Cup campaign. But I just think that it was unnecessary, and it affected his team in a very negative manner.
Well, the off-the-field stuff's one thing, Stephen, but what did you make of the on-field tactics? There were a lot of people that were critical of Herdman for being slow on the substitutions. Eustáquio obviously was laboring with that hamstring. and wasn't taken out until, you know, the Canada had taken on some water in a big way. They were asking Atiba Hutchinson to do an awful lot of heavy lifting, considering he's the oldest outfield player in the World Cup. Did you take some issue with the way John Herdman coached that game against Croatia?
I thought he got it wrong. I thought he should have played three players in midfield. I was pretty vocal about that in the lead up to the game, and that was my opinion. And the hard thing for a head coach is, you know, you go with your gut feeling and you're proved right or wrong by the result. And obviously it didn't work out, but I just felt with the quality of the three players of Modric, Brozovic and Kovacic, you needed that extra player in there. Now, he tried to combat that by playing a bit of a 4-4-2 and trying to get a more solid midfield. But when you think about how good they three are and how much interchange there is between them, they needed another body in there. To ask David or Laren to keep coming back onto mostly Brozovic, but whoever the deeper midfielder was too tall a task over the course of the game. So wrong decision by him. I think John Herdman would probably like that one back and would make another decision. But hindsight's a wonderful thing. And when you think of the first 20 minutes and having Laren in there, and how he played a part in the goal, and the width or the pace in the wide areas with Buchanan and Davies, he must have thought he got it right. But ultimately, a game is not 20, 25 minutes. It's 90 plus, and over the course of the full match, tactically, Slatko Dalic won that battle quite comfortably with John Herdman.
Stevie, the country was so proud, qualifying, getting over there. Davies' first goal, I'm sure you could feel the excitement with the Canadians in the building and just the whole country as a whole. How do the expectations as the program itself, how do they grow for the next time around, where the expectations are to have some success as opposed to scoring a goal and that's kind of their big moment?
Yeah, I think you just got to learn from it and take things forward, and everyone needs to realize that the bar's raised when you get to a World Cup. You just have to be perfect in so many areas. And I think Canada soccer have learned at a men's World Cup the really harsh lessons that every little thing is really scrutinised. And all the little mistakes lead to this added pressure and noise that affect performance. And, you know, ultimately, when you look at it as well, that, you know, we certainly need a little bit more quality and depth of quality with the Canadian men's national team. So that's, you know, out of John Herdman's hands in a lot of ways. But I think when you think about some of the things John Herdman's done, maybe some of the things that the organisation's done, I think they could have handled it a lot better than they did. So, you know, learn the lessons and move forward and try and figure out who's capable of making that step to the next level, because, to your point, we don't want to get to 2026 and just trying to score a goal or, you know, maybe get a point or can I win a game. It's like, I want to try and qualify for the knockout stages and do something significant at the World Cup. And so for the first one, I think it's been a good performance. You know, there's been sort of two games that have been had their moments, and certainly the Belgian game was a really good performance by Canada. But again, ruthless at this level. Like, you get your chances, you have to put it in the back of the net. The best teams do not miss when they get in there. And so a lot of areas, I think, in reflection, Canada soccer will realise they need to be better, and hopefully people can close that gap and make up the distance.
With Stephen Caldwell, our TSN soccer analyst, and I guess the question is, how do they do that, right, Stephen? Do they have the players necessary? You talked about needing some quality. I mean, is it going to come from within, from the guys that are here that are going to have to grow over the course of the next 4 years? Or is there some other younger crop that you think is going to have to come in and play a significant role in 2026?
There always has to be the younger crop, because that's the way that you know, the best nations succeed, because they keep having younger players and more depth to push each other to bigger and better things. So they need that. I mean, we could go on a long time about the structure of soccer in Canada and how some adjustments need to be made there when it comes to provincial soccer and how the national body of Canada soccer organise that. But ultimately, we need to use the impact of this World Cup, the aspirational impact that kids want to play soccer and they want to play at a high level. And we have to get kids out there playing soccer consistently and choosing soccer over hockey and basketball and baseball and the other sports that we know are prominent in North America. So I think that would be a start. I do think there needs to be some improvement in coaching generally overall, so we kind of increase that talent pool. But you just never know what's on the horizon in terms of talent. You know, you have an Alfonso Davies or an Astakia or Buchanan, a David kind of appear and show that they're capable of making a step and go to Europe. But we need more. We need more players. We need more people that are capable of, you know, starting in MLS and stepping to Europe at the right time and then moving from, let's call it, a kind of moderate European club to one of the biggest European clubs and pushing for Champions League appearances and then maybe even Champions League titles. That's how you kind of take it along. So it is a process, and hopefully Canada are on the right path, but I think that there's a long way to go. When you come here and you realise the margins are just so small, there's a long way to go for Canada in terms of really competing at this level.
So I'm sure it's a big letdown, Stephen, for all the guys on this roster, including John Herdman. But how do you approach Thursday's match against Morocco? We all know there's nothing they can do to further their stay in Qatar. They're heading home afterwards. But you know, how would you recommend they approach that third and final match, even though it doesn't mean much in the standings?
Yeah, I hope they approach it with, you know, the same level of commitment. We want to get Canada the first win in a men's World Cup, so these guys have to go out and give their all. The team that John Herdman will pick, I think, will be a little bit loyal to some of the stalwarts that got Canada here, so I expect some changes. But ultimately, they've got to go out there and they've got to stick to the integrity of the competition, as I'm sure they will. And, you know, there's a lot riding on this game in terms of Morocco, so they have to go out there and do their best. And Morocco are no pushovers. They've been excellent in this tournament, hard to break down. So I'd like to see Canada improve and try and take it forward and really go and try and get this first victory. And if they do that, you know, and they're coming back to the World Cup, well, they'll be disappointed they didn't make the knockout phase. I think they'll feel that they've took enormous strides.
Stevie, before we get you out of here, have you found your way to some kind of cold beer over there, or how is that part of the operation working?
Jeff, I think you know me well enough. You know I'll find beer pretty much anywhere in the world. So I've found it in Doha, Qatar as well. And there's a few protagonists that are involved in that. I don't want to name names on national radio or national television. So I'm going to just say that we've had a few good nights out, but we've been keeping a lid on it and making sure that we're ready for the hours and hours of broadcast that we've been on daily. But it's been wonderful. People are here. I have to say, great people are here, and everyone's doing a tremendous job, and we're having a good time, and I think we're representing Canada to the best of our abilities.
Attaboy. I'm glad to hear things are good on that front. Thanks, Stevie.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, there he goes. Stephen Caldwell, TSN soccer analyst. Found himself a couple of pints, I think.
But what does that mean in Qatar? Does that mean that he has to, like go to a store and buy it and, like, smuggle it back to his hotel? Like, what does it mean when there's no booze there? Like,
you need a guy.
Like, I talked to somebody over there. They said they were going to an Irish pub. So what the hell does that mean?
Well, I think there are some pubs in the hotels. The hotels, you can get beer, but it's outrageously priced. I'm hearing like $17-$20 a pint.
Oh, so it's like going to the
ACC. Downtown Toronto, yeah. But apparently there's one liquor store in the entire country right now. And they've allowed some of the journalists, I think, if you apply and did your paperwork and got a letter from your boss, apparently, lots of permission needed to be granted for you to step foot into this liquor store. You show your ID like 15 times, and I'm probably exaggerating maybe by 10 or 12, but apparently it's like, and then you go into the liquor store behind the razor wire and the machine gun, you know, security, and you can go buy a case of beer for like $100. So someone's supplying.
It's out there.
Crew,
you could find
I'm guessing.
It. You could find it, and there are people out there who will go flip over every single rock to find themselves.
They always say you got to find a guy. Those types of guys are probably making a lot of money to find certain things that particular people
yes.
want.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they're getting it regardless, and they're going to pay somebody whatever to go get it.
Yeah. Right. It's like contraband, essentially, and they're getting it done. Stevie's getting it done.
Yeah.
We know that.